speak about how to know the call of God. My wife and I have made a number of major life decisions in the last 6 years. In fact, because of some of them, some of you think we're from Pennsylvania, and some of you think we're from Maryland, and some from Indiana. And so I thought it might be good just to tell you where we're from so you would know. My wife and I grew up in Pennsylvania. We got married in Pennsylvania, and the year after we were married, we were called to Maryland to pastor a small congregation called Goshen Mennonite Church at Laytonsville, Maryland. And we lived there for 30-some years. And I pastored the church for 33 years. And so we passed on the mantle. And about 2 months after that, we were asked to go to Thailand. And so Val Yoder called us, wondered if we'd come over there and pastor, I go. And so here we were in our 60s. And so we prayed about it, and we were all excited about it. And so we had some issues to go through, but we went through the steps and said the Lord's will that we go to Thailand, and we went to Thailand for 3 years, about 3 years and 3 months, between 2009 and 2013. And then we didn't feel free to extend our time, and so then the Lord called us to Millbank, Ontario, as interim pastor for small congregation there. And so we were there for a year and 2 months, and then our children said, we think you ought to live close to one of us when you come back. And so it turned out to be our youngest daughter at Sugar Creek, Ohio. And so that's where we live. We're at Sugar Creek, Ohio, and a place we never thought we'd live, at least me. My wife talked about it already, and I said, I don't want to live in Holmes County. You know, and our church in Maryland was in a non-Mennonite community. And so we enjoyed that setting and serving, and I thought I'd never want to live in a heavily Mennonite community, Holmes County, Lancaster County, wherever. But the Lord had to be different, and we feel called to where we are besides just the natural things about being there close to Julie. And so that feeling went away because it's also a call of God. So we went through some major life decisions in the past few years. First of all, to pass on the mantle at Goshen. We had good working relationships with our other pastors. We had a good working relationship with our congregation. We were at peace. And thought that was a good time to do it with my age. And so we processed that, and we passed on the mantle, and then to decide to go to Thailand. And while we were over there, we had four of our great-grandchildren born. And then to go to Canada, we had our children's blessing, and it was just a joy to see God working in our lives. And so I feel that we can know God's call on our life. Young people, we can know God's call on our life. And I think that we have to go through the right process. We have to go through a process that to understand God's call. And so that's what I like to share with you tonight. But it's not only for the younger men and women that we have here. It's for all of us, because we have a call on our life. Sometimes we make changes in our life, and we move from here or there. And how do we know? How do we know? What is the process? But I think that God has given us a way to know. So we will first look at all at the prerequisite of God's call, and that is faith. We will also explore finding the call of God through the Word, then circumstances, and then the church. Using this formula, I believe that we can make decisions not to be regretted. It is a wonderful thing to answer God's call and to be able to know it's God's call even when trials come in that call. When we went to Thailand, my wife's health was compromised. She had a slow-growing cancer in her stomach. And she had 16 radiation treatments in October, I think. And in November, we left. And so we went from BWI, Baltimore, Washington, to New York City, to Anchorage, Alaska, to Taiwan, to Bangkok, Thailand, to Chiang Mai. And when we got there, we were beat, and she was especially beat. For the first 2 months, she would have come home on a whip, as she, according to her physical feelings. But we knew that God called us there. So you see, that's a powerful thing, to know that God has called you where you go. And it turned out to be a very big highlight of our life. But those hurdles that we had to go across those first couple of months didn't waver our understanding of our call. So I think that's why it's good to understand that what the moves we make are the call of God. And then we can go over the humps and the hurdles because we know that that's his call. So I think this is for all of us. And we all have decisions to make. And I think also that this process is true for the call of God to stay at home. I believe that everybody here that is at Bonner's Ferry, if this is where God has called you, then that's where you belong. This is not an escape place up here, way up here in the boondocks. Is this a boondocks? It's beautiful, man. When we went back to the house this afternoon and we started going out this road and saw the sun on the mountains over there, it was just beautiful. You have a beautiful place here. But this is not an escape. This is a call. If God wants you here, it's a call. It's a call that you should have. I believe everybody in every church says that feel this is where God wants me. If we don't feel God wants us there, will you be useful? So I believe that what I'm saying tonight is good for the call of God, if it's home or if it's to go somewhere else. And at IGO, we've had people that have come over there preparing for cross-cultural missions, and they felt the call to go home to their home congregations and serve in that congregation. God bless them, because they had a call to go home. There's a young man that was there. He was part of the Horning people, and he went home, can't have Facebook, so forth. And he said, I'm going to apply myself. He went in there, and he started relating to the young boys in the congregation, ministering to them. And after a while, they were relating to their fathers. And to their mothers. They took their mothers out to eat out someplace. And then they took the fathers out to eat. And then one of the fathers says, how can we be better daddies? And ministered. There's another man that came there, and he felt like he was called to men's ministry. There's a monk ministry over there. And so he felt a call to the monk ministry in Thailand. And they come home, and his church says, no, I don't want you to go over there. They were a little more conservative than I go. And somebody said, why don't you just leave your church? No, he said, I'm going to plug into my church. So he plugged in, and in 2 years, his church gave him their blessing to go to Thailand. He had a call to be at his church. That's a wonderful thing. And so I see a call to be at our church or to go. Another illustration is Menno Beachy with Mountain Anthems. You probably know him, some of you. He told me that when they started to sing, they thought, well, they ought to get a bus. So they went to the ministry and they said, how about let's get a bus? They said, no, you shouldn't get a bus. Somebody says, why don't you just go get one anyway? No, we're not doing that. And in a year, they went back again. Could we get a bus? They said, yeah, you can get a bus. And they got a bus, and it turned out to be a ministry of their church. And so, call of God at home. Call of God where you go. But to be faithful in that call, and even when everything don't go your way, to be faithful to that call. Isn't that a wonderful way to live? It's a wonderful way to live. So, I see four ways to approach this call. One is through complete faith. One is through the word. One is through circumstances. And the other is through the church. And when you take God speaking through these four ways, you can depend on your decisions. So, just back to another incident before we went to Thailand. Joyce had two procedures done that required her to be get anesthesia. And two of those procedures, the doctors there said her heart stopped. But later they said it paused. But the first time it happened, boy, they rushed her into the hospital and they were going to send her to Johns Hopkins and get down there. And we were expecting Foley to go down there and end up with a pacemaker because it was an electrical thing. It wasn't a muscle thing. So we were sitting there in this local hospital, Frederick, Maryland, and they were getting the ambulance and this and that. She was telling me what to pick up at the house and so I could take it down there. And all of a sudden the doctor came in and says, well, I talked to the doctor down there, and they think it might be the anesthesia, so now you don't have to go. Wow. But then it happened a second time. And so you know what our children thought about us going to Thailand. They weren't too much, especially our one child. So we went to Johns Hopkins, and she had a complete test, and that doctor came back and says, your heart's good. If your heart stops, your natural pacemaker will start it back up. So, circumstances, they were coming together, and we went. It could have kept us from going. So, anyway, I'd like to go through these things. The first thing I'd like to look at is the part of faith. Now, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. How did Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, and the rest of the Hebrews know the call of God? I think the same way that we do. Were they any different than you? How about Joseph and Mary? How about Joseph when he went into Egypt? How about the Lord? Was it any different for Elijah and Elisha? And for Jeremiah and King David and Daniel? And you can keep on going. Is it any different for them? Yes. How did your church leaders know the call of God? How about these men on the bench up here? How did they know the call of God? How do I know the call of God in my life? So my approach to this subject of faith is to see that this is a prerequisite of the call of God. It's a prerequisite. And so, faith is a prerequisite in finding the will of God. And if you ask for the will of God, but you say, but Lord, I do not know if I can trust you. We might not say it in those terms, But it's really the truth. And if we say that, we're not going to know the call of God. I believe that God, for God to lead us, we got to have an unconditional faith in our God. And I believe that we can use what I'm going to say, even in buying a car and buying a house and making a move and accepting an assignment, going to school, going in a mission field, and so forth. We have to have an implicit faith that God can lead us. So, the substance and the evidence. So, faith is substance. That's what the Bible says. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is faith nothing? No, it's evidence. So let's explore this a little bit. Faith, substance, that is which is actual existence. Faith is a substance. It's real. It's evidence. Evidence is a charge which is shown to be true, and it often is so confessed by the accused. It is both a judicial and a moral meaning. It is a proof by which a thing is proved or tested. So faith is evidence. The substance and the evidence of our faith is demonstrated by our trust that we display in the one who we have faith in. So faith, the substance and evidence of Abraham's faith, was he went when God called him to go. That was the substance and the evidence. Unless we have an unwavering faith in our God and God's will for our life, how can we ever know what God is really calling us to do? And it's okay if we don't trust him. If our faith in the person of God is flawed, we will not have faith in his plan. So the prerequisite is that we have faith, complete faith in God. If you do not have faith in God to obey him now where you are, how can you have trust in him to call you somewhere else? So, we want to hear the call and decide to go. That is backwards. We need to have such a faith in God that we have decided to obey before we get the call. I remember when I was a little guy, I went to a Brethren in Christ Church Bible School. The teacher said, would you be willing to go to China if God called you? I was a little squirt. And I signed my name. I just remembered something. Would you sign your name to anything if God called you there? He never called me to China. But were you willing to go? If he called you? And that has to be true. We go because we're called. We stay because we're called, not because we're comfortable. Are you scared that God is going to call you someplace? If you are, your faith is not complete. Do you really believe God will take care of you? Are you scared that your parents won't get to see your children every week? Most of the men in Hebrews 11 were the first to do what they were called to do. And they did not have a training center to go to like we have in New York City. The training center to help them know what they were going to get in for. Some of these men and women came out of their calling and some of them didn't make it. But they all had faith in God and obeyed. So we have to have faith. So we have this saying, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes so-and-so with a baby carriage. In the mission context, we say first comes faith, then comes obedience, and then comes whatever that obedience produces. Have faith in God, full faith, so that you will obey where you don't understand. That should be the case for wherever you are, and that should be the case if you're asked to go. Rahab had full faith in God and was safe in keeping the spies. Ruth had full faith in God, and she gleaned the fields and slept at Boaz's feet. So let's explore this faith. in Hebrews 11, 1 and 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we have the saying, first comes love and faith, then comes marriage. But, you know, first we should have faith in God. If we don't have faith in the person of God, how can we have faith in his call? So faith, these are some words that we're going to look at. The corresponding verb translated mostly believe. In James 2, 19 to 23, and I would like to read that if you would like to turn to that. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So the corresponding adjacent adjective translated mostly as faithful and believing. Corresponding negative noun is unbelief. And the Hebrews were known for that. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And in verse 19. So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. This is the opposite of faith. The corresponding negative verb is to betray a trust. Faithless. Corresponding negative adjective is unbeliever or an infidel. So we see we have to have a faith in God that when we know what God's will is, we go or we stay without question. There's three kinds of faith: the nothing faith, the skeptic's faith, and the relational faith in the all-powerful. So, what is the nothing faith? The nothing faith is when you imagine a chair and sit on it. That's a nothing faith. Then the lesson is that some people have faith in nothing. They imagine. I know it will hold me. I think that the chair is there, even though I cannot see it. That's not the kind of faith we're talking about. Then there's the skeptic's faith. Take a chair and question it, test it, and make somebody else sit on it before you do. That's a skeptic's faith. And then there's a relational faith in the all-powerful. And it's illustrated by you being blindfolded and somebody taking you to a chair and saying, now sit down on it. And you sit down because you have faith in the person that told you to sit down if there's a chair there. And that is the relational faith in the all-powerful. So by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went not knowing whether he went. God and the creation by faith, Abel and the sacrifice by faith, Enoch and the walk by faith, Noah and the work by faith, Abraham and the journey by faith, Sarah and her conception by faith. So you have a Hebrews 11 faith if you have faith in the person of God, have faith in his promise, have faith in his paths, have faith in his providence, have faith in his provision, and have faith in his power, and have faith in his purpose. I would like to look up all of these things, but we don't have time because I have four things to go over. Each one of these should take up a night. In conclusion, are you willing to acknowledge your complete faith in God even though you cannot see or know what that will mean? So, Jeremiah's response was trusting God's call on his life, sacrifice what it took, suffer what it produced, and obtain a good report through faith. And we can do the same. So another word for the verb is to persuade, signifies to suffer oneself to be persuaded, obey. The opposite word is to be persuadable. Denotes obstinacy, obstinate rejection of the will of God, hence disobedience. Now, let's look at the call of God through the Word. Maybe God doesn't speak with an audible voice, but an awareness is developed, a conviction is developed, principles are developed that give a basis for decision making. And to look at this more is to see the parable of the sower. And so a lot of our need is to have our hearts prepared to receive the word. Now, we all know the parable of the sower. And let's go through this. Right at the beginning of the parable of the sower, it talks about those that have their ears closed. Those that don't want to hear. And they don't want to see. If you don't want to hear and you don't want to see, you can't expect God to lead you. Or you can't expect the Word of God to penetrate you. And so we have the four, these different kind of soils, the wayside soil, the stony soil, the thorny soil, the good soil. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Let's look at the wayside soil. It was the trail where people walk. It's hard and will not take the seed, the Word of God. This could be likened unto a hard heart. If you have a hard heart, you're not going to be able to receive the word. Solutions for a hard heart, a broken and contrite heart. The shallow soil is soil with a stone underneath. The shallow soil is spiritual experience. I believe underneath is bitterness and anger and strife and hate, and immorality, and hypocrisy. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. So I believe that we cannot be stony soil and expect God to lead us, because these things are underneath there. Some of the questions in the BMA application for service, of which I'm a part, concerning their relationship with the local church. We ask people about their local church. We ask them about their moral, sexual morality. We ask for references if there is anything in life about the applicant that would hinder them. We've had a number of people come to our church at Goshen. They came from neighboring churches. And we always ask them, we tell them that we're going to go back to their pastor and see if there's anything that needs to be taken care of. And in every case, we did that. Because how can a person be called to our congregation who has conflict, unresolved conflict, in another congregation and not carry it with them and expect God is, and then say that he led them to us when they have unresolved conflict? So, that's a shallow soil. That's a shallow soil. So I think that, if there's willingness to resolve those conflicts, which it always was in some cases, that's not shallow soil, because you've gotten rid of the bitterness. You've gotten rid of the anger and the strife. And so if you have shallow soil, you're not going to be able to find God's will. So the solution, examine yourself. Repent to God for bitterness. Resolve relationships with humility. Resolve immorality. Resolve, take the mote out of your own eye. Clean up your heart. Examine yourself. Then there's thorny soil. The thorny soil is having those things in our life that choke out the word. And it's cares and it's anxieties. It's the deceitfulness of riches. And if we have those things in our eye, that's our goals, we're not going to be able to feel God's call because these things take priority. I believe that we cannot clearly know the call of God in the word if your values are wrong. Solution. You will have to choose to eliminate those things that make you worry. Get rid of it. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or whatsoever will be clothed. For after these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. You will need to check your value system against the word of God. And you will have to give the worry to the Lord. Take it to the Lord, casting all your care upon him. The good soil is not the hard, shallow, or the weedy. Prepare yourself, and God will grow a life for himself. And it's then when you're in this condition with a good soil that God is able to speak to you. And he's able to talk to you, and you're able to hear him. So, first of all, if you have faith, and if you're the right kind of soil, those are requisites to hearing the word of God. And if these aren't there, then you might question some of your decisions. To have good soil, you will want to incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, cry after knowledge, lift up your voice to understanding, and seek it as silver, and search it as hid treasure. Then you shall understand the fear of the Lord, and you shall find the knowledge of God. And so I would like to just skip ahead a little bit here. I would like to talk about the call of God through circumstances. There's a man in China. Thailand, who had a lot of rough road, but all this rough road led him back to minister to his own people. I think that circumstances, when we look at circumstances and take the circumstances that God has put in our pathway and accept them from God instead of blaming God, we can see him working through circumstances. Take Joseph, for instance. And the circumstances that he went through. They were circumstances that led him to the call that God wanted him to have. So things that we can't escape, things that we have nothing to do with that happened to us. I think that we ought to see them as circumstances in the call of God for our life, because these things start to become the framework for our ministry. And I'm going to be talking about this more tomorrow morning. I'm just going to go through it real quickly. There's things in your life that you can change: your parents, your time in history, your racial background, national heritage, your gender, your birth order, and your brothers and sisters, and your physical features, and your mental abilities, and your aging and death. And, you know, some people really get hung up about those things that they don't have anything to do with. Instead of seeing them as circumstances God's put in your life to create the framework for your ministry. Physical features. Some people get hung up with their physical features and just accept them, saying, this is God, how God made me. So, we want to talk more about that tomorrow, so I'm going to skip some of this so that we can get over this. So, life illustration, Joseph. And we'll go through that tomorrow morning. So some people look at their present background and present situations with self-pity, and it destroys them. Instead of embracing them, they pity themselves. How can you accept God's call in our life when that's the case? But God leads through those things. And then he leads through let's go to this one here. The Apostle Paul, think of all that he went through. And he met the Lord. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And who art thou, Lord? And there's threatenings and slaughter and imprisonments he went through for Christians, and blindness and fasting and vision from God and vision restored. And he went and preached Christ. And look at the process of events there. Even though he was living in sin, God turned around that right around and used it for good. Circumstances God can use. And he became then the persecuted. He had a direction of travel, and it kept going. So, God used a circumstance already shared with you some of our circumstances. Now I'd like to look at the call of God through the church. I would like to use a call of God through the church. And with this call, I want to also think about advice that we get from other people and counsel. You know, the church is part of the body. We're part of the body. And we're part of the body for a reason. And so the church, I think, is a place to go to find counsel. One of the places we went was to our church leaders. I was the lead pastor, but then I became passed that on, and I went to our ministry, and I said, what do you think? And they gave me advice. I went to our members and asked them. So because we're the part of the body and members one of another, not one of us is a kingpin. We have need of one of another. There's safety in being part of the body. All for Christ, the head of the church. And so I think one of the biggest things is people have an independent spirit. And they want to do what they think. And so we shouldn't have an independent spirit. We should have a spirit that we're part of the body. And we go to those we're a part of. And we say, what is your counsel? We should be caring one for another. We're an accountability group. Sometimes, and I think we have to develop in our church that kind of an atmosphere. Sometimes our churches end up just being in the maintenance mode. But we have to get beyond that we're in the working mode. And then we can seek counsel from one another. The eternal family of God is in the church. It's a primary unit. We should find fulfillment in the church, being called at home or in missions beyond. And I've shared with you how that these men have found support in their church when they submitted to their church because they were part of it. I think that when we're part of the church, we can receive a call through an invitation. Examples. Affirmations. I was actually felt I was called to be a minister when I was a youth. I never told anybody. And I told my preacher. I didn't say I didn't tell anybody, but I don't know if I ever told my parents. And when my wife and I were, when I asked my wife to marry me, I said, sometime I think I'm going to be a preacher. I thought she could refuse, if she didn't want to be a preacher's wife, she didn't have to agree to marry me. And so within a year after we were married, we had to call a ministry. So you see how this worked, the confirmation through circumstances? So we have through the invitation, through counsel. Ask counsel of the Lord. Ask counsel of your parents. And I believe it's fitting sometimes, even if you don't have Christian parents, is to go and ask counsel of them. Ask counsel of your husband and your wife. Ask counsel of your children. And we ask counsel of our children before. And all of these moves that we made, First of all, to hand over the ministry to somebody else. And I wrote to our children, and I said, what do you think about me starting to make this transition? And I had planned that we'd start this transition, that when I was 65, that I was finished. And they come back, and they said, we don't think you have to wait till you're 65 if you think you're ready now. And so we started the process. And I forget, I was 63 or something like that when we finally made the change. 2 months later, got a call to go to Thailand. Work through our children. Circumstances. Ask counsel of your church leaders. And ask counsel of people you trust. And we would take a piece of paper on the computer or something, and we would like put the what we're called to do, what we felt called to do. And then we put the pros and the cons, you know. What did this person say, and what did that person say, and what are the circumstances, and all those things. And we put it down so we could see it. And soon we could see God unfolding a plan for us. And we did that for giving up the ministry. We did that for going to Thailand. We did that for going to Canada. And we did that for coming to Sugar Creek. What a blessing. And all of those steps, to make those steps and know God had called us. What a blessing. Through fasting and prayer. And we know that there were prophets and teachers at the Church of Antioch. And they were ministering to the Lord and they were fasting. And God led them into ministry. And then through all of these ways, we see that we have the church, circumstances, the word, and complete faith. And what I see when you make these kind of decisions, there's protection, purposes are established, confirmations are experienced, and frustrations diminish. So, when we try to make a decision inside ourselves and it goes round and round and around and around, you get frustrated. And you really don't know what's happening. And you get, yes, frustrated. But it's like this. When you have your confirmation in your own spirit and you have these pegs out here that start to be placed to give this stability, to give you stability by counsel and by the Word of God and by circumstances, and you have all these pegs out here, and confirmation in your spirit, and you make a decision, it's solid. And it takes away the frustration. So, the call of God, church is important. Have you considered it? Oh, look at that. There's my wonderful wife. And she's going through all this stuff with me. And she's an answer to prayer, too. Anyway, that was uncalled for. I got to the end of my presentation. That's what came up. But it's a good testimony. Oh. So, I would like to commend to you that you can know God's calling if you follow these directions. I'll turn it back to you.